Harper Audio presents Confidence Men, Wall Street, Washington, and the Education of a President by Ron Suskind. Read by James Lurie. Part 1. The Two Capitals. Chapter 1. September 17th, 2010. President Barack Obama dances lightly down the four marble steps to the Rose Garden and across the flagstones to a waiting lectern. He still glides, elegant and purposeful, in that tall man's short step, a ball player returning to the court after a timeout. Today, September 17th, 2010, he has committed to putting some points on the board, in the sports parlance of Rahm Emanuel, his chief of staff. The president needs to show the country that he hasn't lost his game, the ineffable confidence, the surety of stance and delivery that propelled a man with little political experience to scale cosmic heights and to realize what felt, on election day, like democracy's version of the moon landing. Through recent history, America has considered itself something of a providential miracle, a country that kept finding reasons to believe in its manifest destiny. That faith, sorely tested over the past several decades, found itself restored with dizzying ebullience when Barack Obama and his beautiful family stepped onto the stage in Chicago's Grant Park as America's first family. It was a sensation of such intensity as to startle many across the country and around the world into believing in the promise of America, the original and long-burning beacon of the democratic ideal. The legacy of that moment is evermore found in the lengthening shadow it casts. In the nearly 2 years since, Barack Obama, like an archangel returned to Earth, has been forced to walk the flat land and feel its hard contours. What, if anything, it has awakened in him remains unclear. At present, he is clearly struggling to get his bearings. And yet, it is impossible to see the president and not search out signs of that man from Grant Park, who strode so boldly across history's confetti-strewn stage. On this warm late summer afternoon, with Congress out of session, Obama has convened the press to announce the launch of a new agency, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. It has been designed to protect American consumers from the predations of the financial services and banking industry, which, over the past couple of decades, has grown vast and insatiable by inventing, for the most part, new ways to market, sell, and invest in debt. The woman standing awkwardly at Obama's left hip, Harvard Law School professor Elizabeth Warren, has become the nation's town crier on the subject of bankruptcy and debt. In the 2 years since the economic crisis, she has emerged from nowhere to trumpet the story of how debt was turned into a velvety weapon, how engorged financial firms deceptively packaged it, sold it as securities, and extracted usurious profits from American consumers, especially those in America's once vaunted middle class. The notion of a consumer financial product agency, a freestanding, independently funded entity like the Federal Communications Commission, was originally hers. Unveiled in an article she published in the spring of 2007. The truth is that no one much cared for the idea, until her unheeded concerns turned up at the center of the worst financial meltdown since the Great Depression. So today is a long-delayed victory for Warren. Almost. Somehow, nothing in the Rose Garden is quite as it seems. The president praises Warren, whom he says he met at Harvard Law School, as though they are old friends. They're not. And Warren only became a professor at Harvard Law the year after Obama graduated from it. In fact, over the past 2 years, While Warren has seen herself lionized on magazine covers and in primetime interviews as a leading voice for tough, restorative reforms, the president seems to have been studiously avoiding her. Part of the problem, clearly, is that she has been acting the way people expected and hoped that the man from Grant Park would. This has caused discomfort, not only for the president, but also for his top lieutenants, including the boyish man in the too long jacket at Obama's right hip, bunched cuffs around his shoes, looking more than anything like a teenager who just grabbed a suit out of his dad's closet. That's Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner, looking sheepish. Only those in his inner circle at Treasury, though, can precisely read what's behind that expression. A string of private efforts across the past year to neutralize Warren.